Thank you, Henk, for joining us. So today we've got a few questions that we've had emailed in from some of our clients, so we're going to jump straight in. The first question is from Sean Brodie, who's asking whether the election result will see an easing in austerity.
Well, what we should remember is over the course of the past couple of years, the government focus has really been on austerity to try and balance the books after the financial crisis. But since the election result, we have seen a calming down in terms of the government's stance around maybe some of those key areas. So if you look at the rhetoric around potential spending cuts, for example, the public sector pay cap or even the triple lock around pensions, we have seen an easing back in terms of some of the terminology that's been used, the intensity around that. But what we should also remember is the reality is there's very little room to manoeuvre. The nation's finances are still very tight. They've still got to deal with the debt and the deficit. And so I think we could see some of that intensity come out, but it will continue to be the direction of travel, I think, austerity, particularly if the government is to hit its target of balancing the books by 2025.
And what about in terms of Brexit? Will we see a change in the Prime Minister's approach there?
Well, the election result certainly has an impact in terms of the Brexit negotiations. The real hope, remember, as we went through this process, was that the government would have put forward a potential negotiation standpoint that would have been endorsed by the electorate. They would have got that mandate, and then we could have begun the process properly. The one thing you can say is the government didn't receive a negotiation mandate as a result of the election. Now, some have argued, of course, that potentially the result means that we're going to see a weaker Brexit. We know slimmed down majorities tend to lead to watered down policies. So that could well be the case, but it could equally be argued that the risk of a disorderly exit from the European Union has also increased quite substantially. We know it only takes a small minority of MPs to block ratification of the deal. So I think we could see some changes coming through in terms of Brexit. The hope is, of course, given we're now in a hung parliament, the parties come together, there's some consensus about the way in which the Brexit negotiations should take place. Unfortunately, it seems we're some way away from that.
Okay, so Lindsay Whiteman wants to know what the key impacts of Brexit will be on the manufacturing industry.
Well, the manufacturing sector is one sector that seems particularly vulnerable to the Brexit process, of course. We've already seen the impact of that in the immediate aftermath of the referendum. You remember that sterling fell very aggressively, fell by more than 10%. That's a significant impact for manufacturers, of course. In some ways, of course, it's positive. A cheaper sterling allows particularly the exporters to compete on the global stage in a much stronger fashion. But remember, it's a two-edged sword because the cost of importing raw materials has increased quite substantially. One thing we do know is very difficult to pass on those increased costs to the end customers. In terms of the broader picture when it comes to the Brexit negotiations for manufacturing, some key areas, of course, they'll be focused on. They'll be looking to see what access they have to the single market, what trade agreements have been put in place, what tariffs potentially they'll have to overcome. They'll also be looking at the customs union as well. How easy will it be products to flow freely from one region to another? What does that mean in terms of the supply chain? Does it become more expensive? Is it going to take more time? That could be potentially a competitive disadvantage to their European counterparts. Alongside that, immigration is incredibly important as well. You know, lots of manufacturers have tapped into the talent pool right across Europe in an effort to help develop and innovate their products. They no longer have that available to them. That, again, could be a disadvantage. So it's going to be significant for the manufacturing sector over the course of the next couple of years as these negotiations play out. What we do know is the manufacturing sector has underperformed over the course of the past decade. A hard Brexit could put further pressure on the sector.
So Richard from LinkedIn is asking about the impact of a weak sterling on the long-term economic picture.
Well, it's a good question to ask, of course. That's been one of the biggest effects that we've seen in terms of financial markets in the immediate aftermath of the referendum vote. Of course, sterling fell by more than 10% in the days after that. We saw less reaction, of course, after the election result, which I thought was quite interesting. Sterling fell by around about 2% or so, then steadied more recently. And part of that, I think, is because, number one, sterling is cheap from a valuation perspective. Number two, I think monetary policy is expected to remain on hold for a prolonged period of time. But also, if you look at analyst expectations, they've already priced in, perhaps you could argue, the worst case scenario in terms of what it means for for the UK economy and what it means in terms of the Brexit negotiations. So perhaps sterling is reflecting that. And actually, if we were to see some dissipation of some of that political uncertainty, if we were to see a brighter view of exactly how the Brexit negotiations are going to play out, sterling could recover a little bit. So let me give you the headline numbers in terms of our forecast, then we'll look at the impact in terms of the UK economy. So we do expect some recovery in sterling over the course of the next year or so. Pound against the dollar is around 129 today. Over the course of the next year, we've got it back to 134. It's about 89 pence to buy a euro today. We think over the course of the next few months, the end of the second quarter, it'll be back to around 83 pence. So we could expect some recovery coming through in sterling. In the short term, of course, it does have an impact in terms of the economy. Some positives, some negatives. The positives that you can point to is that it makes it much better environment for our exporters to perform. So some good news on the back of that. Encourages tourism into the UK. That's one of the key drivers for the UK economy, which is seen as positive. Good news for companies that have overseas earnings. So that's the positives. The negatives we have started to see shine through as well, particularly in terms of what it means for inflation and the knock-on impact that's going to have on living standards. So in the short term, there are some positives. Longer term, it could prove a little bit more precarious.
So with sterling where it is now at about the 129 against the dollar and inflation climbing, what's going to be the impact on consumer spending?
Well, we know consumer spending, consumer activity has really been one of the big driving forces behind the UK's economic performance over the course of the past few years. And that's part of the reason, actually, why we've become a little bit more pessimistic about the growth prospects, because we think household demand growth will start to come under pressure over the course of the next 18 months. One of the reasons for that is that we expect unemployment to rise during the course of 2018. But primarily, it's driven by the fact, as you quite rightly alluded to, is inflation is running at a much faster pace than pay growth. If you look at the inflation numbers for May, it showed you it was rising by around 2.9%, and probably in the next couple of months we'll see it top the 3% mark. But look at the latest pay growth numbers, showing growth for only 1.8%, and that shows a real squeeze taking place in terms of the consumer. You add into that a drying up of some of the temporary forms of income that we've seen over the course of the past year, things like PPI payments, for example, and pension reform, and it shows you that household consumption growth will slow down. So we've got household consumption growth slowing down from a very positive, very strong 2.8% that we saw back in 2016 to just 0.7% through the course of 2018. So you add that to the fact that we believe that business investment is also likely to slow down. And that's part of the reason why we think the UK economy's prospects will look a little bit weaker over the course of the next 18 months. Remember, we expect the UK economy to grow around 1.4% during the course of this year, 1.3% as you look out to 2018. That compares to growth of more than 3%, remember, we saw back in 2014.
So we've had a lot of clients talking to us about their concerns with respect to the labour market. We're starting to see figures coming through, ONS figures putting net migration down for 2016 by 84,000, a large reduction in the amount of EU migrants coming to the UK. What do we think the impact of this is going to be on unemployment?
You're absolutely right to say that's a trend that we've been seeing. I've spent a lot of time with clients, with key management teams, and they're certainly saying that's one of the challenges that they're having to overcome in the current environment. And we should remember, of course, many UK companies have benefited from free movement of labour as being part of the European Union. They've been able to tap into a much wider talent pool. It's kept labour market costs down quite considerably, and now we're starting to see that change. One would imagine, potentially in the short term, less workers coming in from Europe, potentially that could push down UK unemployment rate. But actually, what I think we're most likely to see in the longer term is companies starting to reallocate at least some of their resources to elsewhere in the world. So we will see a spillover effect from the business sector as the reality of Brexit starts to shine through, as the economy starts to slow down, and therefore we expect employment growth to turn negative during the course of next year. But we should remember that's from a very low base. UK unemployment is very low today, down at 4.5%, the lowest rate that we've seen since 1975. So we're only talking about a gradual increase from where we are today, but we think UK unemployment will top the 5% level by the end of next year.
Okay, so by the sounds of it then, a slowdown in the UK, but not as bad as we perhaps thought this time last year. What about the picture further afield across Europe?
Well, actually, the European economic landscape has improved quite substantially over the course of the past few months. It finally looks like ultra-accommodative policy is having the effect of reflating the economy, generating some of the growth that's required, even stimulating some of the job opportunities that are needed, although we should remember European unemployment still elevated around 9.3%, but certainly been moving in the right direction. I think a mixture of quantitative easing, negative deposit rates, cheap loans from the central banks to the commercial banks, which have boosted lending, has helped to generate much stronger growth and helped to lift inflation. So some positive there. And actually, if you look at the surveys, they certainly suggest that has been the case. If you look at the business surveys, they show a significant improvement in activity and sentiment, particularly in the key areas of manufacturing, construction and retailing. Industrial production has been rising. But I also think companies are becoming more confident. They've started to build up their inventory levels. And private consumption, which we should remember has been a tremendous drag in terms of European growth prospects, has been improving. We think will be supported by wage growth and job creation. So we've actually increased our macroeconomic forecast for Europe quite substantially. We now believe we could see a growth rate of somewhere around 2% during the course of this year, a similar figure as you look out to 2018. Substantial improvement to what we were suggesting just a year ago.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time, Henk, and we'll see you again.
Good to be with you.